بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، نحمد ونصلي على رسول الكريم، أما بعد، الحمد لله. We are on part 62 concerning spiritual discourses, and we are identifying the signs of pride. We are identifying the signs of a proud person. Another sign of a proud person is that such a man does not give in charity with his own hand. Once a guest came to Khalif Hazrat Umar ibn Abdul Aziz at night. He was then writing as the light of the lamp was about to be extinguished. The guest said, "I shall take the lamp and make it right." I said, to engage a guest in any work is against the gentle mannerism. The guest said, "I am waking up your attendant." The Khalif said, "The servant has gone just now to sleep." Then the Khalif himself filled up the lamp with oil. The guest said, "O Amirul Mu'mineen, are you yourself doing it?" He said, "Before the oil was brought, I was the same Umar as I am now after it was brought. There is no decrease of my honor. He who is humble to Allah is best." So what is this story telling us? And what is the sign of a proud person? That he does not want to do simple work with his own hand. He wants to all the time instruct. He does not want to activate his own systems, do it himself, but just give charity by writing the check, let it flow. He wants to instruct. And this is not a good thing. See, a person who gives charity while sitting in his air-conditioned office, it is valid. He'd get rewarded. Allah bless him, grant him barakah. But he should also do something. He should go out, do inspection in loco, and give his charity. And there also, he should try to do it with his own hand. When he does it with his own hand, he will get joy, delight, blessing, comfort, which he never experienced before. I know of one wealthy family that when they go into the rural areas, then they participate in offloading the truck of millies, millie meal, flour, oil, sugar. And then with their own hands, with a lot of volunteers, I participated in that. They give out the sugar, they give out the oil, they give out the blanket. And alhamdulillah, they got a lot of money. And once I asked them, "Why you do this?" They say, "We feel so much of goodness in this, that we come directly in contact to the people who we give our zakat, we give our charity." And that means pride is not in their hearts, inshallah. Nowadays, we sit back, relax. Collectors come, we just give out our money, and it is over. That is why, unfortunately, you'll find many a wealthy person, he does not know the plight of his own neighborhood, what is happening there. The people are groveling in poverty there. People are steeped in unnecessary activities there. And there is a hadith of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, lengthy hadith, wherein Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that we will be accountable for many things of our neighbor. And if we did not enjoin what is good and forbid evil, our neighbor will say on the day of judgment, "This person did not enjoin what is good and forbid what is evil to me." And our neighbor will complain, "This person was not worried about my education." Let alone the neighbor would be complaining that I was starving and this person did not worry about me. That is why Imam Ghazali Rahmatullah Alayhi, when discussing the issue of zakat, has stated, when you distribute your zakat, then consider firstly your kith and kin, your relatives, your close relatives. The people these days, they are famous, become very popular and known. That man is generous, that man is hospitable, that man gives a lot of zakat. But if you analyze, unfortunately, his own close relatives, kith and kin are battling. They cannot make ends meet. So the rule is that keep in contact with your close ones, your near ones, your relatives, and help them. And the best way is to do inspection in loco. Inspection in loco, go to their homes. That when we fast, one of the benefits is we know how a hungry man feels. That is the one of the benefits. But the main one is pleasure of Allah. I remember that. This is a side benefit. So when we go out and visit the poor, the needy, the destitute, when last have we just driven past an area that is poor, needy, and destitute? When last we have just taken our children for a drive and let's see one poor area, how people are living in shacks, without water proper, without electricity, living, and see how people, especially if you're going for Fajr, in areas you'll see people sleeping on the road path, on the footpath. Now, if we do not have contact with the poor and the needy, then we will not be able to help them, but we'll sit in our comfort zones, and that is happening. So look at our close ones, relatives, near ones, dear ones, help them, aid them, support them. Allah rewards tremendously. Then you look at your own neighborhood. Then we look at the locality. Then you look at your city, your town. Then you look at your province. Then you look at your country. Then you look outside. But if you look at what we have done, we have reversed the whole situation. That we look outside the country. Then we look outside the province. We look outside the city. And we look outside the locality. We don't even look at our neighbors. So we should concentrate on the sequence stated by the great ulama ikram. Then what will happen? We must learn to do things ourselves. We should not be there with a bullying attitude. Umar ibn Abdul Aziz Rahmatullah Ali is putting out a clear signal here. He's the Amir al-Mu'mineen. The guest has come. The light is about to go out. Those days, obviously, they were putting oil, and now they had to put oil so the light keeps on burning. He did not, when asked by the guest, that the guest wants to do it. He did not instruct the guest because he's in a position of power. He's the Amir al-Mu'mineen of the Muslim Empire. That's why he's classified Umar II. He did not tell him, listen, you do it. And when the guest said, why don't you get up your attendant? He said, the attendant just gone to sleep. And how do we slave those under us? How we make them work and work? And unfortunately, that when they even they're resting at times, and when our need comes, that instead of trying to do it ourselves, get the attendant. Let him do this. When he is having his meals and then you want to use your car and go to a particular place, you shout him, tell him, leave your meal, clean my car, I want to go. Why we do this? Because there is pride. We do not want to do things ourselves. Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala, who the story is famous, recorded in Fazail al-A'mal, that he should patrol the streets in the night. And when once he heard that there was some activity outside Madinatul Munawwara, and when he went there, he realized that the woman was about to deliver, and they did not know what to do there. He immediately went back home, got his wife, went there, and then he lit that fire himself. He blew, let that fire come up, prepared something while his wife attended to the lady, and alhamdulillah, all that was done. Carried that bag himself of flour. This is why they were able to rule the world. Sahaba were Sahaba. This is why you can't say any word against Sahaba. Why? Because they were so pious, righteous, knowledgeable, and humble. They had compassionate for the weak and the feeble and the needy and the wayfarer and the destitute. They had fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Why? Because they were obedient to Allah and Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They had taqwa and tahara. They had zod, humility. They were full of sincerity. They were all made shukr. They were uprighteous and had good morals. They were hospitable, generous, full of modesty and shame. And they were not arrogant. Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala, who could have got up half the Medina to tell him, come, we got a problem out here, crisis out here, emergency out here. And half the city of Medina could have come out and helped him. But he, being Amir al-Mu'mineen, did it himself. And the story that we have narrated, that Amir al-Mu'mineen, Umar ibn Abdul Aziz, rahmatullahi alayhi, he puts right, set right the lamb himself. He does not ask the guest, he does not get up the attendant, he does it himself. Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, once one sahabi went there to ask her something, and she told, wait, she was attending, stitching up her garment, old garment. She could have told 100 ladies in Medina to do this, but she did it himself. The Sahabi said that, oh, Ummahatul Mu'minat, that why are you stitching your clothing? That people will say that you are a miserly person. She made some beautiful statements, that he who cannot use old clothing does not deserve to be given new clothing. Meaning that the person who cannot use old clothing here won't be given new clothing in the Akhirat. And she said, let the people say whatever they want to say. Because they were simple, humble, they were Jannatis. Today we do not want to do simple tasks. We do not want to do so-called mean tasks. We do not want to do those tasks that people, when they look at us, they say, oh, what is he doing? And those things which are simple, they elevate a person. So Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala says that, see, if a person does not know how to use old clothing, he will not appreciate how to use new clothing. That's why Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has stated in hadith that if a person dresses as per fashion of the world, then on the day of judgment, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will dress that person in the dress of disgrace and humiliation. The deen of Islam is completely complete. It is perfect. Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam spoke of fashion 1436 years ago. And how true it is that if a person keeps up with the fashion which is ever changing, it develops pride and arrogance in that person. On the day of judgment, get ready to wear the dress of disgrace and humiliation. Every word of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is truthful. May Allah ta'ala grant us ability to help others with our own hands. And that will create humility, simplicity, sincerity, devotion, and it'll create fear of Allah. وآخر دعوانا الحمد لله رب العالمين.